Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the final chapter of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31. Ladies, no need to duck in your seats. It's Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 and verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish, and wine to those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it. She delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth in wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So, the words of King Lemuel, and we say of King Lemuel what we said before, who is this Lemuel? And we say what we said last hour, which is what? We may not know the scribe, but we know the author, right? Some have said, well, this is Solomon. I'm inclined not to think that, okay? But there are arguments in place that Old Testament scholars have put forth to present this as Solomon. It's not, I don't find them convincing at all. I just find that this is the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, period. It really is that simple, I think. All right, so notice that that also these are the words of Lemuel, but these are the things that his mother taught him. And so we notice at the outset that while it might be tempting on the part of some to say, well, you know, this is the description of some man and the woman that he wants, I think that more properly we have the wise words of a mother to tell her son what kind of a woman he needs, what kind of a woman he ought to look for. So it is something of a daunting thing. It is indeed, ladies, if I could put it colloquially, it's that ultimate mother-in-law, right, speaking to her son about you and what you ought to be to him. Well, that may not sound like the greatest thing in the world, but remember that this comes of one woman speaking of another, and so it is not simply the as it's been put by some, the patriarchy, you know, really pressing their authority here. It's not that. This is truly the words of the mother of King Lemuel to him. And so she has some pretty poignant words, first of all, for him. Notice these first three questions. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Now, what does that mean? What is she saying there? Well, she's saying in that, and this is kind of a rabbinic thing, it's a little different, but she's saying something like this. She's saying, what is the important thing, my son? What is that which really matters? And notice that she says, first of all, she says, what, my son? Secondly, what, the son of my womb? And so there is what? There is that motherly affection that's going to inform what she says. And then the third thing she says is what? What, the son of my vows? In other words, the vow that I have dedicated you to the Lord, that you belong to him. And so notice that this comes from a wise mother in Israel to her regal son, and it comes out of the best of motives. The motives that she would have as a loving mother, speaking to her son, the son of my womb, the son of my bowels, if you will, and also the son of my vows, that I remember whose you are as well. You're not just mine, you're the Lord's. All right, so the first thing that she has to tell him is, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. And you understand why some, based on that, might say something like, well, you see, this is about Solomon. Because was not Solomon brought low because he loved many foreign women? He was, and that's true. But I still don't think it's Solomon. I still don't think this is Bathsheba speaking to Solomon. It just doesn't fit historically for me. Okay, but notice, don't give thy ways to things that destroy kings. And one of those is to be drawn aside by the wrong kind of woman. Gentlemen, those of you that are not married and desire to be married someday, don't be drawn aside by the wrong kind of woman. This comes from a mother in Israel who was speaking to the son of her bowels and the son of her vows. You can remember that. They almost rhyme. Don't be led aside by the wrong kind of woman. What kind of spouses ought we to seek? Well, we have been pounding this for years now, and we're going to continue to pound it. We ought to seek godly spouses, godly husbands, godly wives. And this is essentially what the mother of King Lemuel is telling him. But notice also that it is the more important for him, because as a king, he's not just a private person, he's a public person. And as a public person, he will bring his monarchy to nothing by pursuing after the wrong kind of woman. And if his monarchy is brought to nothing, then all of his duty to care for those that are under his authority will be brought to nothing as well. Great men, that is, not great men, you know, like, oh gee, he's really great at this or great at that, but great men, men who have a large purview of authority, that kind of greatness, when they sin, many people suffer. And so it is especially important then for those who are in any kind of authority not to be led aside to things that destroy and make void that authority. Okay, so she speaks to him as that careful mother, as that concerned mother. And let us not denigrate this office. This is a holy calling. Notice that King Lemuel thought so much of her counsel that he prophesied it. It ends up in the scriptures. Solomon and the editors of Solomon, maybe the men of Hezekiah, they thought so much of the mother of King Lemuel's instruction as related by Lemuel that it came from the heart of a godly mother. Oh, I know that motherhood's fallen on hard times today. I understand that. But it's only fallen on hard times out there. It has not fallen on hard times in here. And it certainly has not fallen on hard times in the Scripture. It is indeed a high calling. So do not give thy strength unto women, nor give thy ways to that which destroy kings. The next that she goes on to discuss is another kind of indulgence. An indulgence toward women, and that's destructive. And an indulgence toward wine, which is also destructive. And notice that there is a greater responsibility upon those that are in authority. It's not to be said that kings should never drink strong drink or wine, but it is to be said because they are great men and have a greater responsibility and often, let's admit it, greater access to such niceties, that they ought to be especially careful. And this is what is being said here. He's not forbidding the use of wine because he goes on to talk about how it can rightly be used to those who are of heavy hearts and those who are in some kind of other difficulties. And so yes, it can be rightly used, even by kings, when he says it is not for kings to drink strong drink. I think he does, you know, this is one thing that you'll find the Puritans saying. They say things with such precision and quaintness that you can't really forget it. So if you come across a branch on a tree that is drooping, what do you do to it? Well, you might stake it up to its proper place. But the other thing you might do is you might overbend it so that it comes back to a more proper place, right? This is what Sibs does. Sibs says, well, this is what Jesus is doing here. And it's what the mother of King Lemuel is doing when she says, it is not for kings to drink wine nor princes strong drink. She's overbending that which is crooked so that it comes back to its rightful place. Okay, and she's brought it back now because it's obvious that she's not, that the scriptures don't, even in this passage, absolutely forbid the use of alcohol, but to put it in its right and proper context, to bend it back to straight, in other words. And sometimes in your statement, you have to overbend it to get it back to straight. That's the point. And then finally, notice also that he is to remember justice, mercy, generosity, and speaking up for him who has no voice. And this is especially what kings ought to be doing. Remember what the temptation for kings is. To take from the oppressed. Because they have no voice. They have no defense. We even hear people talking like that in this country. Don't we? That those who are oppressed, they can't get themselves a proper legal defense. They can't get themselves a proper legal representation. And often that is true. It's simply a difficulty. It's a fact. Notice what kings then are especially to do in the face of such natural injustices. They are to rise up against that tide. They're to rise up in favor of those who otherwise would have no one in their corner. No one to represent them. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, plead the cause of the poor and needy. All right, so that's the first section. So that is some really strong instruction for King Lemuel from his mother. But then also, now she's going to continue that instruction with regard to helping him to find the right kind of wife. What are the qualities that you ought to be looking for in a wife, King Lemuel, especially as a great man? All right, so there are several things. And there are things that apply to all people indiscriminately. And there are things in this list that apply specifically to women who are married in a household. That's true as well. So trustworthiness and faithfulness. Well-doing. Her will is in line. She is willing in good things. She is discerning. She is diligent. Her care extends to others, not only herself, even to the denying of herself. She makes use of the resources at hand and parlays them into greater good. She is concerned about the things which make for strength of character, first and foremost. She takes pains in her labor. She's not found putting up her feet. She is compassionate to the needy. She makes provision for her whole household and sees to their care, even though it means that she deprives herself. Her labors bring their reward. She is clothed with fine things, but it is for the honor of the family that she is thus clothed. She ensures that her husband is honored. She contributes to that honor by her wise and diligent industry. She is clothed with strength and honor. They are her covering, right? That's what she seeks to cover herself with rather than the niceties or the fineries of the world. She has no fear of the future, but she anticipates blessing. She speaks wisdom. She does not eat the bread of idleness. She is blessed by her children and her husband, and that suffices her. Well, that's a wonderful set of qualities that King Lemuel is told to look for. Note especially then in verse 30, well-favoredness is deceitful and beauty is vain. Well, that we would learn that lesson in these days of spending so much time in primping and making up and getting the hair done and thinking of the time expressed, the stress and the hassle. What if those times were diverted into a study of the scripture, prayer, meditation upon God's word, service of others, etc.? What a change would that have upon our thinking and upon our churches? Now, young ladies, I don't want you to be fooled. That which the world values is vain and empty and deceitful. And any man that would make a choice of a wife upon that which is vain, empty, and deceitful is not worth a second look from you. You hear me on that? Seek a godly young man who appreciates those virtues that are cried up in this passage. Young men, don't be fooled by trinkets and curves. Look for a woman whose feet are unencumbered by vanity, firmly grounded upon these qualities enumerated by a loving and wise mother in Israel to her son. To us all, let us encourage one another to spend less time on the outer man and more on the inner man. And then finally note this, that she is to be praised, not in the fawning sense of, oh, she's so pretty, or she really knows how to dress, or her sense of style is impeccable. No, the praise that she receives is not for any of these kinds of accomplishments which are fleeting. You can always find some to praise you in these vanities. Let those things for which you are praised be those qualities we have discussed. Diligence, industry, generosity, compassion, wisdom. These have lasting fruit. These are the weighty things of life. Thus ends the reading of Proverbs 31, and we